नमः ओम शिवपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूदले श्रीमदे भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी भज श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे वीरभद्र जस हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम हरे हरे सो टेक्स्ट 7 दैट्स व्हाट वी आर डिस्कसिंग इज यस इंद्रियाणि मनसा नियम आरभते अर्जुन कर्मेन्द्रियै कर्मयोगम असक्ता स विशिष्यते. Krishna says, after saying, mentioned in the 6th chapter, sorry, in the verse 6, Krishna spoke about those who have karmendriyani samyamya ya aste manasasmaran indriyarthan vimodhatma mithyajarasam uchyate. Krishna says that karmendriyani samyamyam, that one who has controlled the senses externally but internally contemplating on the sense objects, manasasmaran Indriyarthan vimudhalma mithyajara samuchyade. Such a person, Krishna says, is mithyajara, one who is a pretender. And in the very next verse, Krishna said, yes, indriyani manasa neyame arabhade arjuna karmendriyai karmayogam asaktasa vishishyade. One who has controls the senses by the mind and engages his active organs in works of devotion in karma yogam without attachment is superior. After saying that, Krishna says that the differences what we have seen is in the upadhi. This is an important point, because when we look at the spiritually advanced souls, you will see their activities may differ, but the source from where the spiritual energy is flowing is the same. But because it comes through different personalities, you will notice there is a change in their way of their activities, the way they are functioning in this world. How do we know that? Because if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see in the 18th chapter there is a verse there which Krishna talks about, that where Krishna says to Arjuna, "Sobhavam yada karmam, sobhavam yada karmam." That is the important point. Sabhava niyata karmam. It is in the 18th chapter. Yeah. Sabhavam niyata karmam. 1847. Krishna says there that the ശ്രേയാൻ സ്വധർമ്മോ വിഗുണാൻ പരധർമാൽ സുനിഷ്ഠിതാൽ സ്വഭാവനിയതം കർമ്മ കുറവന്നാത്മോതി കിൽബിഷം. ദാറ്റ് പ്രിസ്ക്രൈബ് ഡ്യൂട്ടീസ് അക്കോർഡിംഗ് ടു വൺസ് നേച്ചർ ആർ നെവർ അഫക്റ്റഡ് ബൈ സിൻഫുൾ റിയാക്ഷൻസ്. സോ ദാറ്റ് അക്കോർഡിംഗ് ടു വൺസ് നേച്ചർ സ്വഭാവനിയതം കർമ്മ കുറവന്നാത്മോതി കിൽബിഷം. സോ ദർ യു ക്യാൻ സീ ദാറ്റ്സ് വൈ we were discussing yesterday that example, that the electricity, when it flows through different things, it creates different results from there, isn't it? It brings different results from there. Like in the heater in one way, in the fridge in another way, in the music cassette recorder in another way. So all these kind of things. And so everything is electricity, but it creates, according to the upadhi that is there, it changes its result. So, and the upadhi only knows one thing. For example, if you put the cassette recorder into a grinder, what will happen? The grinder will do according to its upadhi, that it will smash up the whole cassette and give it to us, isn't it? Or the CD. It will smash it up and give it to us. Everything is electricity, but because the upadhi has changed, therefore the result also will change. Because it knows only that upadhi. Upadhi. This is called upadhi. Upadhi Vedam. The difference in upadhi will always be there. But the Krishna's mercy, Kripa Shakti, or Krishna's mercy that's coming out through all these things is one and the same. Therefore, the jnanis also, after they have known what is to be known, everybody will not be chanting the holy name, or everyone will not be doing sankirtanam, or everyone will not be speaking about it. It's not necessary. Everybody is different. That's what we were discussing. Somebody who has who has a swabhavam in chanting, they will go through the chanting process. And somebody who has a bhajan nature, he will go through the bhajan process. And someone else who has a nature of speaking, he will continue with that process. So all these changes, according to the upadhi, will change. That's what Krishna is saying here to Arjuna. If you take away that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, if you take that away, then the problem is solved. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. If you take that away from the activities, then the problem is resolved. How to take it away? You have no right not to do the duty, not to do the work. Karmam has to be performed because you have no freedom to stay away from doing karma. In other words, Arjuna's question was that, wasn't it? That I don't to stay away from doing this. First, that was his question. If you say that, I will not engage in karma, Krishna is saying here that if you say like that, you'll be forced to do it. You'll be forced to act. Krishna says like that. You'll be forced to act. You have no freedom in that. This is the first thing Krishna is saying to Arjuna. That you have no freedom to choose whether to do it or not to do it. There is no freedom there. You will be forced to act. Somehow or the other, material nature will force us to act. Somehow or the other, the material nature will force us to act. Arjuna is saying to Krishna, I will not fight. But Krishna is saying to Arjuna, you will be made to fight. You will be forced to fight. If you don't want to fight here, somewhere else you will have to fight. In other words, this nature or to fight the war is Arjuna's upadhi. You understand? That is Arjuna's upadhi. So from upadhi you can't escape. Even if you come to a very high position in spiritual life also, from upadhi you can't escape. In other words, you have no choice there. Svabhavam edam karma. Krishna is saying. So, as much as that the material body has certain nature, it will keep on doing that all the time. It will keep on doing that. But, in that upadhi dharmam, while you are engaged in that upadhi, if you take away that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, then it has become karma yoga. Upadhi you can't change. Upadhi will continue. That's why in spite of all kinds of problems, we continue to do the same thing, what we are doing, isn't it? It doesn't go away from us. That's upadhi. That's already set up in us. So Krishna is saying that upadhi dharma, in that upadhi's nature, upadhi dharma means the activities of the upadhi. Upadhi means, as I mentioned before, that there is a svabhavam in us. That's our upadhi. That upadhi dharmam, I am the karta, I am the bhokta. In other words, I am the doer or I am the enjoyer. Krishna says remove that and then continue with it. Then that upadhi won't cause any problems. That nature won't cause any problems. This is a very important point because everyone gets confused on this issue. The only freedom what we have is this. Only freedom what we have is this. What's that? In Upadhi, you can't move away from that. Upadhi, you have to comply with. There is no freedom. But I am the doer, that you can, that freedom they have, Krishna has given us. Whether to think that I am the doer or not, or I am the enjoyer or not, that Krishna has given. People will ask this question, is this destiny or is it free will? Isn't it? People always ask this question. He said something, destiny or free will. As far as the, in your spiritual identity or the self is concerned, it is free will. Whereas in the material body is concerned, it is destiny. This is how it works. As far as our own free will is self is concerned, the soul is concerned, there is free will to live with the, to identify with the soul or not. But as far as body is concerned, it is your destiny. That won't change. People always ask this question, isn't it? Whether it is free will or destiny. So the answer to that is this, that once you identify with the soul, you have the free will. There is nothing can come on your way. All this thing called fate, destiny, is all for the body, not for the soul. So free will for the soul, destiny for the body. Destiny for the body. In your spiritual identity, you're already free. And in the material body, you have the destiny. Destiny means this, that I'm not this body. Does not belong to me. See, this body's nature is a very interesting thing if you think about it. What exactly is this material body? Just like the tree is standing there, this body is standing here like this. That's all the difference is. It has come upon us. That's why it's called a destiny. You didn't choose it. It has thrown at you. A particular body in a particular place, in a particular situation, you got it. So therefore, why it is called a destiny. Yeah, it's not your option. There was no option. It was your fate or destiny. It has come upon you. And it is something like a tree standing there. It is standing here now. This tree is, body is standing there. And it has appeared in front of me. It has appeared in front of me, the soul, my Swarupam, in self form, in spiritual identity. It has appeared in front of me. Something which you cannot define, this body. Anirvachaniya Shakti, they call it. Anirvachaniya means what you cannot define. This body you can't define. Nobody can define this body, can you? Why it took this particular form? Why it took this particular shape? And why it is changing? Why it is getting sick? Why it is getting old? Why it is dying? When this will all happen? You have no control on any of these things. Isn't it? So therefore, it is called destiny. So destiny is for the body, free will for the soul. Free will for, that's all what we have. We haven't got, people keep on asking this question, oh, is it my destiny or is this my free will? Whether I've got the right, a lot of people have a problem. But there, they've mixed up these two things, the soul and the body. Soul has free will, body doesn't have any free will, it is destiny. That is the real, the clear understanding of the body and the soul. There is no freedom in the body. In the body, you have no freedom. Body, we are thinking that we can turn it upside down and all that with the body, isn't it? We all have that hope. One day it will get it right. It will come out all right. So we keep on doing that, but it never gets it right. It goes one day without asking us even. So Yudhishthira Maharaj asked this question to Vedavyasa Maharshi. In the Mahabharata, you will see, when Krishna killed in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, Shishupala was killed, wasn't it? Shishupala was killed. So Yudhishthira Maharaj calls Vedavyasa Maharshi and is asking Vedavyasa Maharshi that this is such an auspicious sacrifice like this Rajasuyam. In this Rajasuyam, wow, this is a very inauspicious thing what has happened. Krishna is killed and Yudhishthira Maharaj is still saying that it was such an inauspicious thing that Shishupala was killed in this sacrifice. So what atonement should I perform for that? This is Yudhishthira's question. In other words, Yudhishthira is still sticking to his dharma that, oh, it was an auspicious time, this shouldn't have happened. Like we also get swayed away by this kind of things, isn't it? That Yudhishthira's question was to the Vedavyas that this has happened in an auspicious situation like this Rajasuyam, and Shishupala was related to them, wasn't it? The Kunti Devi's sister's son it is. So a family member getting killed by another family member. So all these things Yudhishthira was thinking very inauspicious, and he was asking this question, what should we do? And Krishna is killed. In spite of this question has come, Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying to Yudhishthira Maharaj, if you start performing atonement for all these things, there will be only time for that, because you are not understood, you don't see things further. This is only the beginning, he says. This is only the beginning. You won't be, from now on, it will be just killing, 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 from now on. And you won't be able to stay away from this. There is a huge war is on its way. Who is saying this? Vedavyas, is because Vedavyas knew that war is on its way. So he's saying to them, a big war is going to happen. If you are telling me that right now you want to leave because you don't want to fight and everything, and you will perform from Yagam or Yajnam or things like that, and you can escape from this war, if you are thinking like that, Vedavyasa is saying there that you can do all that, whatever you want, Yudhishthira, but what will happen is that we, people like us, will get some dakshina out of it. Nothing else than that is going to happen from that. So, because of that, the war is not going to stop. Because already, Prakriti has decided. Vedavyasa Maharshi knows these things. So he says there, Prakriti has already decided. It has to happen. Because Prakriti has decided it that way, that the war has to happen. And if you think that you can stay away from that, it won't be possible for you. Not only that, the whole war will be fought centered around you. Vedavyasa is saying to Yudhishthira Maharaj, the whole war will be fought centered around you. And that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Vedavyasa Maharshi, then what freedom have I got? He says to Yudhishthira is asking to Vedavyasa Maharshi, what freedom I have got? He says, Vedavyasa is saying to Yudhishthira Maharaj, you have got one freedom. What is that freedom? You can only think inside that because of me this war is happening. You forget that. Yeah, you take that away from your head, that because of you then this war is happening, and also you are fighting the war. Two things: I am the cause of the war, nor I am fighting the war. Neither I am fighting the war. Both these thoughts, take it away from your head. This is what Vedavyasa is also telling us, isn't it? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimodhatma kartaham iti manyate. That foolishly we are thinking that it's happening. Similarly, all things what is happening in this world, we are thinking that because of us all this is happening. That is also misunderstanding. Krishna is saying that to Arjuna, that it's not because Prakriti has decided certain way things should happen, and it will happen in that way. So, only thing, without being obstinate about this, without thinking of this thought of I, that I am the person, then whether this war is good or bad, doesn't matter whatever happened, without being identifying with that I am the doer, and not thinking that I am winning this or I am losing it, you fight this war. Then nothing will affect you. Nothing will affect you. Let the war carry on in its own way. It will not touch you. If the false ego doesn't wake up inside, if it doesn't pop up, that I am doing it. If that goes away from there, Krishna says, Vedavyasa is saying to Yudhishthira, then it won't affect you. No karmam is performed by you. No karmam is performed by you. All the karmam is happening through you. This is a basic conception. That the primary understanding is this. This I am the doer must go from inside. And that is why they are explaining to us, we are not actually the doers. Karmam is happening through us. ആക്ച്വലി ഹൂ ഈസ് ഡൂയിങ് ദ കർമ്മം? മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ ഈസ് ഡൂയിങ് ദ കർമ്മം. പ്രകൃതി ഈസ് ഡൂയിങ് ദി കർമ്മം. ഫൂളിഷ്ലി ഐ എം ഡൂയിങ് ദിസ്, ഐ എം ഡൂയിങ് ദിസ് ആൻഡ് വി ആർ ടേക്കിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് പൊസിഷൻ, വി ആർ ടേക്കിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് ഫോൾസ് പൊസിഷൻ ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് ഐ എം ദി ഡൂവർ and feels proud about this. I've done that, isn't it? That's what that is, the biggest disease, isn't it, in this world, and all of us think that we are the doers. So that's what that is explaining, that then let the karmam happen through you. Whatever karmam is happening through you, don't become a block on the way when it is happening. And this is a interesting, and then that when that happens, then things happen better, everything goes in the right way. Krishna plays the flute all the time. One day Radharani asked the flute that why Krishna is more dear to you than me. Radharani asked this question to Krishna, because what good fortune have you done? Krishna sometimes leaves us, but he never leaves you. Either he keeps you with him, or he keeps you on his lips, or in his hip. Never he takes it away from you. Whereas sometimes he leaves us and goes away. He never leaves you. So when he said that, Radharani, the flute answered to Radharani, look at me, I am hollow inside. I am hollow inside. If you become like that, Krishna will always play the music through you. In other words, what it's saying is that if the false ego goes away from us, all our activities will become very Krishna conscious. In other words, Krishna will use that person through various Krishna conscious activities when the false ego has gone away from that person. So in that, that's why he's saying here, the music will start flowing through you at that time. In other words, Krishna's music will start flowing through. So imagine that, suppose, in other words, the flute also has its own role. Suppose in a musical concert, the flute starts decide to play its own music, and the musician is playing one song, and the flute is playing another song. Say the musician is singing some classical music, and the flute is playing some pop music or something on its own. That freedom is not there. It has to follow the what the musician is playing. So the flute has no independence, any freedom to do anything. What is its nature? Its nature is whatever is played through, it has to come through that. That's all it is. Similarly, whatever karma is coming through us, it has to go through us in that way. There is no other freedom. Similarly, every material body in this world, the system itself is, Krishna has kept that particular niyati. Niyati is the word. Niyati means a destiny is already set for every material body. Every material body has its own set niyati. And that is what Krishna is saying, Swabhava Niyati. The name Krishna calls it as Swabhava Niyati. That is that word. If you look at that word in the 47th verse, in the 18th chapter, what Krishna says there is that niyati. Shreyan Swadharmo Viguna പരധർമാൽ സുനുഷ്ഠിതാൽ സ്വഭാവനിയതം കർമ്മ കുർവന്നാപ്നോതി കിൽബിഷം. സ്വഭാവനിയതം കർമ്മ, സോ സ്വഭാവം നിയതം കർമ്മം. കർമ്മം ഹാപ്പൻസ് അക്കോർഡിംഗ് ടു ദി സ്വഭാവം, ആൻഡ് സ്വഭാവം ഈസ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ. മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ ഈസ് ദ സ്വഭാവം ഇൻ അസ്, ഇൻ അവർ ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ അവർ വാസനാസ്. The vasana is that rope which material nature has put around us, and accordingly it pulls that rope, swabhavam, and that swabhavam vasana, and it comes out in the form of swabhavam and does the activity, does the karmam along with that. Swabhava niyadam karma kurvan napnodi kilbisham. Krishna says that, so that swabhavam is in everybody. No, everyone in the material nature is according to that swabhavam he acts. According to his swabhavam he will act. So if we'll see that the last sentence, I can't read the whole purport, but if you look at the purport in the last sentence in that verse, the 1847. If you look at that, Prabhupada concludes that the conclusion is that everyone should be engaged according to the particular mode of nature he has acquired, and he should decide to work only to serve the supreme cause of the Supreme Lord. Of course, that is more important. According to the particular mode of nature he has acquired. So, mode of nature is this what is called Svabhavaniyatam Karma. Kurvannapnodi Kilbisham. So, after saying that, Krishna says there that according to the Niyati, Svabhavaniyati, everybody is functioning in this world. Nobody has any right to say that I will not act according to that. At the same time, we should not get blocked there. Some people, they will stay as a block towards the material body functioning. Let the material body do whatever it has to do. And not to justify that I am doing that. But our attention should be on the soul, not on the material body. When we act in this world, we act with the material body. Krishna's point is, let the material body, whatever karma or destiny has brought along with that, let it function that way. Don't become a block in that. Thinking that you are the controller of that destiny or you are the controller of the body. So that's why not to create any conflict inside. Because people start thinking, oh, I'm going to office to work. Is this correct, what I'm doing? I should be serving in the temple. That's the only way I can make progress. This is misunderstanding. This is not right understanding. The thing is that let the body go to office. It has to do its work. But your attention is on the soul all the time. Material body, due to whatever reasons, you are put in a particular situation. That is destiny. You're put into a particular situation. That is destiny. You have to act, because if you try to go against that, you'll create conflict inside. That thing should go on, because that's body doing it. Body is destiny. And there are unknown reasons, gahana karmano gadi, Krishna says. What causes a material body to take a particular situation in this world and to function in that way is an unknown thing, Krishna says that. It's a very difficult thing to explain. Krishna knows, but difficult thing to explain to us, because you have to know the whole background of your vasanas and purva karmam, everything. So that's why Krishna says gahana karmano gadi. The way in which karmam works is very gahanam. It's a very subtle thing, very difficult to explain that. So don't worry about that. That's what Krishna is saying. Let the body carry on with its activities in this world. But what's more important is that not to think that you are doing that. Material nature is doing it through my body. It is happening in its own way. But all the attention is on the soul. There you have the free will. Nobody can come and tell you not to have it. Not to have it. There is free will. In the bodily level, there is destiny. That is the main point. let the body do whatever it has to do. In other words, that does not mean that you have to fall into sense gratification. That's not what it means. It's all spoken to people who have higher understanding of life, that to say that the not to create any conflicts inside. Because sometimes we have the problem that when we are doing activities in this world with the body, sometimes things don't go in the right way. We start thinking, oh, I didn't do it right, or I did it right, when the things comes favorably. All these things, Krishna says, take it away from that. Svabhavaniyatam karmam. Karma means performed according to your svabhavam inside. And you cannot alter it. You cannot change it on your own. And if you start doing that, it will only cause problems. That's the point Krishna is making. So, shraddha or attention should go to the soul. By doing, it will never become perfect. Purnada. By doing anything, you will never become perfect. That also we should understand. Because often our conditioning is such that if I completed something, I become perfect. I've reached perfection. But it will not. Only thing that will become perfect is that soul inside. By nature, it is complete in itself. Purnavastu. Purnavastu is inside. And the attention should go to that Purnavastu or complete thing inside. In other words, Krishna is saying to us that in material world, if you try to make something perfect, it will never become perfect. It is not possible. It's not possible. That's how it's created. So there's nothing you can do about it. So the attention should go to the Purnavastu inside. Videhe prayatnasya kobivadaha tayor tayor nayatnaha. Vidhi means fate and effort. Both of them, vidhi and effort. Vidhi means destiny, and the effort, the free will with which you are working, that is all. Its original source is the soul. Original source is the soul. Satyam, jnanam, anandam. Its original nature is satya, jnanam, anandam. That means eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. If you don't give attention to that, there is no spirituality. There is no spirituality. If you don't give attention to the soul, whatever sadhana and all these things you are doing, all the various activities, without knowing that thing inside, is not spiritual life. It's not spiritual life. Spiritual life is full consciousness of the soul inside and acting in that consciousness. At the moment, what's happening is we are completely absorbed in the body. And then we are thinking we are becoming spiritual, we want to become spiritual. We keep on saying this, we want to become spiritual. But Krishna is saying that if you are not given attention to that thing, what is called the spirit soul inside, it's not spiritual. Everything becomes simply an explanation, that's all. That everything is happening and it should happen. But attention should come from where should be the attention? Attention should come to that center. The center is that soul. The attention should be there always. And what is that attention? That I am there. I am. That attention. That I am. That is the center. Isn't it? The presence of the soul inside is I am. Existing. Consciousness, in other words. My existence. That is the consciousness, isn't it? I am existing. This bodham. Bodham means that awareness. That is the center. It is centered around that. Everything else is happening. And our false ego is the block for that. The false ego is the block. When the false ego goes away, the attention will move to that straight away. So constantly inside, we have to tell ourselves that I am not this false ego. False ego is a very subtle thing. We don't even understand that. We all say that, though I am completely surrendered to Krishna, I handed over everything to Krishna, Krishna is doing everything. We will say that. But small examples, if you look and carefully analyze, you will see how powerful this false ego is inside. Coming on our way. In a natural way, it will come in a natural way. If it goes away from us, that false ego, then it will happen. But we should not block the karma that is coming through this body. In other words, we shouldn't become obstinate, or we shouldn't think that I'm going to change my life. I'm going to completely change my life. I made up my mind. I'm going to do this and act against the nature, against the material nature. Krishna is saying there that in the next verse. Verse 8. Niyatam kuru karmatvam. Karma jayo hyakarmana. Sharira yatra pichate. Na prasiddheta karmana. Niyatam kuru karmatvam. Karma jayo hyakarmana. Sharira yatra pichate. Na prasiddheta karmana. Translation: perform your prescribed duty, for action is better than inaction. A man cannot even maintain his physical body without work. So Krishna says here, if you look further down in the purport, it says here, so-called renunciation for the purpose of maintenance is never approved by the Lord nor by any religious scripture. After all, one has to maintain one's body and soul together by some work. Work should not be given up capriciously, without purification of materialistic propensities. Anyone who is in the material world is certainly possessed of the impure propensity for lording it over material nature, or in other words, for sense gratification. Such polluted propensities have to be cleared. Without doing so through prescribed duties, you can see, one should never attempt to become a so-called transcendentalist, renouncing work and living at the cost of others. So, can you be more straightforward than that? Yeah. Without doing so, that means before the you see, this is where the problem is coming. Vasanas have not gone from inside. We have become all spiritualists externally, but the vasanas are pushing us back into the same mentality what we had in the material life. So Krishna is saying there that if you have that vasanas inside, it's better honest about it, live in this world like everybody else does it, but with this consciousness what Krishna has spoken to us, that work is happening through me, karma is happening through me. By doing that, that karma vasana will eventually will be wiped out, and then you will get purified, and with this knowledge inside, it will slowly take you to the spiritual platform. Not otherwise. Not otherwise. Sometimes it is very difficult, because people, when they experience some distress or frustration in life, they give up work and they become spiritual, they become a devotee. And then they start condemning everything who is working in this world. They start saying that, oh, he's working like a karmi whole day and night. What? He does not understand any of the science behind it. And to him, what happens after every distress, what comes in life, like every happiness comes in life, that will also leave you after some time, isn't it? Nothing is permanent here, neither happiness nor distress. But when the distress goes away, then he comes back with all the other powerful vasanas back again. But unfortunately, he has taken to the spiritualist dress. So the whole thing comes out through the spiritual nature. Instead of coming in the material way, it gets extinguished. It gets extinguished through the spiritual activity. So what happens? Because he is false, all his activities are false, his identity is false, he will disturb the whole society by that. That's, you can notice that everywhere happening, the same thing. That's why it shouldn't happen. That's what Krishna is saying there. Sharira yatra apichate. Sharira yatra means it's a journey, isn't it? This material body is a journey. We are going through this body, material body. It's a sharira yatra. Sharira yatra apichate na prasiddhyeta karmana. That if you pull out from that, from this traveling, from this journey through the body, na prasiddhyeta karmana, that a man cannot even maintain his physical body without work. That's the way the law is set up by Krishna like that. So working is not something to be condemned. It's not something to be condemned. Working is very much is very much accepted. Krishna is recognizing that here. So that is that verse. So earlier, you see that there is one interesting word there. In that word, if you look, Krishna says, karma jyayo hakarmana, he says. Krishna says, niyadam kuru karmatvam karma jyayo hi akarmana. Karma jyayo hi akarmana. So, if you look into the first verse in the third chapter, what does Arjuna said? Arjuna asked the question, isn't it? He says, Arjuna's question was, jyayasi chel karmanaste madabuddhir janardana. Jyayasi chel karmanaste. So answer to that, Krishna is saying here that karma jyayo hi akarmana. karma jayohi agarmana. So here, if your opinion, Krishna Arjuna asked the first verse, if you think that intelligence is superior to karma, knowledge is superior to karma, then why you are pushing me to this karma? That was that first verse, isn't it? And there, jayasi, Arjuna asked the question, jayasi. Here also, Krishna is saying, jayaha, the answer to that question. And using that word, Krishna is saying here, simply instead of giving up karma, doing karma is jayaha, is better. Doing karma is better or shrestha. Karma jayoha karmana. Without doing karma, if you give up karma, without doing it, you will become useless and you will have neither. Neither means neither spiritual life nor proper material life either. In the Shastram, the word used is Ubhayabhrashtada. Ubhayabhrashtada it's called. Because this person has got the vasanas inside to do the karma, prarabdha vasana, and it should be spent out, it should be released. It should be released. Otherwise, he will never become that sthidapratnya state. Sthidapratnya state will not happen to him. There is no shortcut to that. The vasana should be released through that person. If he takes sannyasam and performs some sadhana and all that, it's not going to help. That's the point. Suppose somebody took sannyasam, saying that, oh, I've given up on my... A lot of people take sannyasam like that, isn't it? They take sannyas and you'll put some effort in that direction and you will go and sit in a cave or continuously act in a way that is thinking that he will get established in his spiritual life. But nothing will work. Whatever you may do, it will not work. recent, I don't know whether you know about them, there was a person called Krishnamurti. Have you heard? J. Krishnamurti. He was JK. He was referred to. He was a character. Character in the sense that he had his own ideas. I think it was the Theosophical Society, which started somewhere in the mid-40s or something, or even earlier than that.
World
he was
League,
one.
Wasn't
eh?
World League.
Ah, something like that. Something he founded one institution. He was a young lad who was picked up by Annie Besant. Annie Besant was the founder of the Theosophical Society. She picked him up and brought him up as a very intelligent personality. And he went and started lecturing because he gave a lot of importance to... He has his own philosophical way of saying. He didn't accept the authority of anything. He has his own authority, a kind of personality like that. But what he said was that he was saying that this modern education... And he criticized all that very heavily, which he has got every right to do, because he was right in saying that this modern education is absolutely useless. And we are destroying them, the children, by doing that. And unnecessarily we create this ambition and all kinds of competition in their mind with our with the way the society is today. So he says they should be brought up like the flowers, young flowers which are coming out like that. So one person asked him that if you take a group of children like that, young children, and leave them in an island and without allowing any external influence to happen on them, will they all become self-realized soul in a natural way? Will they become self-realized? He said they'll be brutes, he said, if you do like that. They'll be brutal. Because, this is the thing. We are always thinking that there is a technique in for everything. This is very strong in our mind, isn't it? There is a technique for everything. And we also think through our cleverness, being clever, we can become spiritual. We can become spiritual. That's the first thing we have to give up from inside. You can never become spiritual being clever. It doesn't work like that. Spirituality can never be cultivated. You cannot cultivate spirituality. What is spirituality then? That is called mercy. It is kripa. It is Krishna's mercy it is. Or grace, whatever we say. Kripa or grace. And all our tacts, techniques, or tricks, all these things will not work in the spiritual field. In the spiritual field, because spiritual field is experience, isn't it? Tax, techniques, tricks and all that will work in your material transactions. You can do that. But spiritual thing is an experience within ourselves, isn't it? You have to experience that. In that field of experience, tricks, tactics, techniques, all these things won't work. Will not work at all. Nothing will work here. Because all these things are coming from false ego. Do you know what I'm saying? The idea of employing different kind of tactics, what we apply in life, or the tricks what we play in this life, or the techniques what we apply, they are all coming from false ego. We must remember this. It is all coming from false ego. And from that, you cannot achieve spirituality. Spirituality is not possible. This is an important thing. Often you will find so many plans people are making in spiritual life. We notice even among devotees also. They are also thinking that how to pick up some key verses from Bhagavad Gita and become spiritual suddenly. That I'll get the message. That because I got the key verses. Where is this key verses? What does it mean, this key verses? That means all the rest of it is not key? What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. Here there is a complete message Krishna is saying. And either we accept it incomplete or we cannot do anything about it. That's all you can do. But these are coming from this false ego inside. See, you can see how subtle the false ego is. False ego will always keep on telling you to apply new techniques, to apply new tricks, new tactics and things like that. And in spiritual life also, we use the same false ego to make it a success, to make spiritual life a success. And that's why various things, if you quietly observe, people who are in spiritual life, you will see that their false ego is dictating most of it. Most of it is dictated by false ego. That will not work. Nothing will work what is coming from the false ego. Whatever idea or whatever thoughts that's coming from false ego will not work in the spiritual world. And similarly, you cannot give up your complete karma activities. There is no way to escape from that. There's no way to escape from that. In whichever position we have been put in, it's better to stay in that position. Not to keep on working in that, keep on doing the things what has been given to us. And be peaceful with that situation. It's okay. Not to make block in there. Not to create a block inside. Krishna is saying here, Niyadam kuru karmatvam. Niyadam means, what does Niyadam mean? According to your nature or according to your vasana, whatever karma is going on, let that karma go on in its own way. Don't block that. Karma jayohi akarmanaha. Krishna says there. Karma jayohi akarmanaha. Don't become, stay away from that. That is better. Whatever you are doing, let it go on. Because it's better, Krishna says, it is going out. Vasanas are going away from inside. But while the karma is being performed, if you are not having this identity with that karma, that I am the doer or I am the enjoyer, all the vasanas will eventually completely dry up inside. Nothing new will be created also, if it is done like that. So that is more important than not doing it. It is the same thing, we keep on saying this again and again to get that through, that while doing the karma, if I am fully understanding that body is doing the karma, material nature is doing it through this body, I am just only a witness to everything. In that way, being situated within the self, if you execute the karma in that way, Krishna says, what will happen? All your vasanas inside, karma vasana, will go away. It will all get burned out. Not only that, new vasanas will not be created inside. That is the secret behind that. Secret of karma yoga. But if you do that with a lot of attachment, karma, as much as little by little it's going out, more vasanas will come and occupy the place inside. If you do it with attachment, if you do it with attachment, that's also, see how subtle all these things are in our work, in our action in this world, how all these things have to be taken into account. If you look then in order to close that door, which door? So that new vasanas won't get in again. Krishna mentioned this to us in the second chapter. If you remember, if you look into the verse 64. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Krishna says there. If you look into the second chapter, verse 64. Krishna says there. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Atma vishayar vidheyatma prasadam adigachadi. Yeah? So, what is this? Remember, when you are executing a karma, with this consciousness that I am not the doer. Material nature is doing it through this body. If you execute the karma like that, what will happen? Krishna says all the vasanas will get eventually burned out. You get freedom from that vasana. If on the other hand, if you have executed the karma with the thought that I am the doer and I need the result, I am the enjoyer of the karma. If you do that, little vasanas will go by doing the karma, but much more vasanas will come and occupy that place. How do they occupy that place? In the form of ragam and dvesham. Yeah? That's what Krishna is saying there. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Vishayan indriyaischaran. Atma vishayar vidheyalma prasadam adigachadi. One who cannot who can control his senses by practicing the regulated principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord and thus become free from all attachment and aversion. So if karma is executed in that way, Krishna says, then it will not cause any problems. Attachment, without attachment and aversion. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. If we execute in that way, the work is happening through us, then that karma won't do any damage. On the other hand, it is good. Why? Because it's wiping out the vasanas inside. So, something is happening through me. And there, you don't have to think this is a good karma or this is a bad karma. Good karma or bad karma. Without that segregation. This is all our misunderstanding. Suppose some people ask, I'm working in a supermarket. Is this good? No, I should be working in the temple. Because he started making comparisons. And we go to the temple there also. You working in a supermarket? They ask you, and you're finished then. Spiritually, you're dead. Isn't it? This is, so who is wrong here? The person who is asking this question is wrong. If you work in the supermarket with this consciousness, Krishna says nothing will hurt you. Nothing will disturb you. But on the other hand, if the temple is working, thinking that I am the doer and the controller, then he is in trouble more than the man in the supermarket. So, this is all what we have created ourselves, all this misunderstanding. And without thinking, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and the work is happening through me, and good karma, bad karma, without all that segregation, what is important is, you see, karma also, you shouldn't get misled by this. There is no good karma, there is no bad karma. This is a misunderstanding. What is important is, what is the impact that karma is creating in me? That is more important. This good and bad, who is the one to decide that? It is a society who is telling us, isn't it? That this is good, this is bad. That is why you can see, Krishna gave the example, Dharma Vyatha stays. In the Mahabharata and in the Bhagavatam also. Tulavyathan, the businessman. All kinds of people. They all became self-realized, but they didn't stop their karma. Karma carried on in its own way. That is the state Krishna is asking us to get to. Not throw away everything and walk into the temple and stay shelter there, saying that you escape from all karma. It won't work. It has never worked in the past. It's going to work in the future either. So, according to what is happening here, it in me, that is more important. And what that has to be looked at. Vasana or prarabdham, something is happening in me. In the form of vasana or prarabdham, that you can't alter it too much, because this, what is happening in me, is this is called Sharira Yatra. Sharira Yatra Bijade, Krishna is saying there. Isn't it? This body, why was it given to me? Because it was given through me, I have to pass through this body. Isn't it? I have to pass through this body. And it is for this purpose that this body was given to me. What is that yatra? Sharira Yatra means, what is the goal? Why this body has come? Only for one purpose, to finish that prarabdha karma. To finish that prarabdha karma. There is, prarabdham has to be experienced in this body. But at the same time, this is the only opportunity. While experiencing this prarabdham, you have the opportunity to develop tattva-jnanam. Tattva-jnanam means the knowledge of the soul. While experiencing prarabdham in this body, you have the opportunity to develop the knowledge of the soul. That freedom is given to us. And in the prarabdham, there is no possibility to alter it. It will carry on its own way. But if you put your effort in the direction of knowing your own self or the knowledge of the soul, Krishna says nothing will come on its way to block it. Not to block it. Every material body is a chance given to us for this purpose. And in that body, if this knowledge becomes firmly rooted inside, what will happen is, little by little, all the karma vasanas will go away from inside. The vasanas inside, while going away, we have to take great care that new vasanas are not created inside. New vasanas are not created inside, and that is called spirituality. This is called spirituality. While, if we are focused on this, that existing vasanas are going away from inside through the karma, but new vasanas are not getting created inside, then that is spiritual life. That is spirituality. So, in other words, adhyatmam. The word used for spirituality in the Shastra means adhyatmam. Adhyatmam is saying that is not doing something new. This all misunderstanding inside. That adhyatma means, oh, I have given up everything now, I moved away from everything, and I'm completely become spiritual now. You won't become spiritual like that. What it's saying is this, that not doing anything new, or not doing something new to do something and create no vasanas. No, instead, what is inside, getting rid of it. That is spiritual life. What's already inside, getting rid of that. If you take care not to create anything new inside, or if you protect yourself for not creating any new vasanas inside, how much power it has got, that much power you won't have by doing something. Do you understand what that point? Suppose you are thinking that you are engaged in sadhana. Yeah? Engaged in sadhana. And you are thinking that you are creating a lot of new good vasanas inside. Karma vasanas inside. So, as if you become more successful, let me make it more clear. While engaging in these activities in this world, if you have done with this deep understanding what Krishna has spoken, that I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer, if you have engaged in your activities in this world, all the karma vasanas are going away from inside and new karma vasanas are not coming in anymore. Isn't it? That is more powerful than you are doing a lot of sadhana, thinking that you are creating new karma, new vasanas inside, but at the same time it is done with the consciousness of I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. That means you are not able to, although you are releasing some of your karma vasana, much more karma vasana is created inside. So, doing good, a lot of doing good, is more powerful than that, is not doing anything bad. This is all the secrets of spiritual life. That if you are doing, suppose somebody, people see, have you seen, they will do a lot of good things. They want to do a lot of good things to this world, and they will find excuse in that way, because they will be doing a lot of bad things also. Some people are like that. They'll do a lot of bad things in this world, and they will justify it, saying that we are doing a lot of good things to the whole society or community or whatever it is. But they'll be doing a lot of bad things in that process. And Krishna's point is that that even if you don't do anything good, not doing anything bad is more powerful. Not doing anything bad is more powerful. And Krishna says here, doing good things is a positive extension of the, is an extension actually, of your positive nature. But not doing anything bad is much more powerful. That means, why it is said like that is, see, karma vasana, if it pushes you into engaging in sense gratification or in sinful activities, sense gratification, sinful activities will create much more harm to us than even if you have not engaged in sadhana. That's the way it works. Yeah. So, therefore, if someone refrains from sinful life or sense gratification all the time and not allow the mind to be driven towards that, he will develop good vasana, or in sattugunam will develop in him very quickly. Very quickly, sattugunam will develop in a person. When I say this, you have to think about it a little bit deeper. When I say that refraining from doing bad things means we are doing a lot of bad things every day. Perhaps we are thinking we are not doing anything. For example, you see all this, what do they call, the billboards, advertisements, television and all that. Through that, a lot of sense gratification is offered, isn't it? In different ways. And if you allow our senses to get victimized by that, then that is bad. That has its immediate effect on us. In a certain level, it's happening. So, if in all those situations, that's all doing bad. Krishna considers this doing bad. That means even if you don't commit any gross sinful activities or sense enjoyment, even on a certain level, if you allow the senses to go to enjoy, even that is considered to be bad. That means controlling senses in that way and coming under, not allowing that sinful vasanas inside or sinful thoughts even developing inside. Krishna says, if it works in that way, not allowing anything to happen, that's much more powerful than if you do sadhana and thinking that you are purifying yourself. Yeah, we are always thinking like that, isn't it? Oh, I got a lot of things to go, Prabhu, so I have to chant 64 rounds today, 128 rounds today. We are thinking that chanting more and more, I'm releasing. But on the other hand, if I'm creating more and more vasanas inside, Krishna says it's much more powerful if it is done in this way. That means not doing anything bad is more powerful. So, what will happen? Whatever karma that has come to us in a natural way, that karma, let that happen through us. Only thing is, I am doing. That thought should go away from inside. And this is one thing that helps in spiritual life a lot, that I am the doer. If that goes away, and I'm not particular that I will not do it, that also has gone away. That I'm not obstinate that I will not do it. Somebody tells something. Karma is happening through me, through this body, in whichever way. Like Arjuna was saying, he was obstinate, isn't it? He was saying that I don't want to do this karma or fighting the war. He says, Krishna says, no. That attitude also, we have to give it up. Karma, let it come. Whatever it's happening through me, let it happen. In that mood, but not identifying with it that I am the doer. Neither I am the doer, nor I am standing against this idea that the karma is happening through me. So Krishna says here, if you don't do it, your sharira yatra, that journey through the body, will not become complete. Will not be completed. sharira yatra abhijade, Krishna says, isn't it? In other words, if you stop it forcefully, you will get stagnated. If you stop it forcefully, you will get stagnated. In other words, if you speak in simple language, you can say that if you don't work, you won't be able to eat. That's all. That's what Krishna is saying in a very, போலிஷ்டுவே சரீர யாத்ராபிஜதே குவன்னாப்னோதி ந பிரசித்தியேத் அகர்மணா ந பிரசித்தியேத் அகர்மணா. ஸோ இன் அதர் வேர்ட்ஸ், at least for the sake of the body we have to work, we have to work in this world. Krishna's point is, instead of somebody else is working and taking it, it is better to let this body work itself and live on that and live in this world. So for the sake of one's own survival in this world, maintaining this body or sharira yatra, one has to do some work. One has to do some work. So Krishna spoke about this important point, that sharira yatra vichate, at least for the sake of maintaining this body we have to work. Now sometimes around the jnanis also, realized personalities, you may find them not doing anything, but what do they do then? Their very presence in this world, they give that realization to others. They share their realizations with others. There was one personality like that, Vishwanath Swami. He was a very great scholar, highly engaged in austerities and penances. And he, during the independence time, lot of people from the society went into prison. They went into prison to fight for independence. And many people, they gave up their education to fight for independence. There was a powerful wave at that time in India to fight for independence. And lot of great personalities, Mahatma Gandhi, Vivekananda, they were all a part of that. They were all personalities who came up at that time. And in that flow, many, many people from very upper class society members, they all joined the independence movement. So this Vishwanath Shastri also left his college. He was an intelligent person, good knowledge, sound knowledge, everything, and he joined this. And he came and he joined this movement, and during the independence movement, a lot of people were locked up in the prison. All the prisons became full. And in the government, British government at that time, they realized that it is impossible to lock up this 700-800 million people into the prison. So they started leaving them also, opening up the prison. And the leaders who started with was particularly Gopal Krishna Gokhale, Balagangadhar Tilak and all that. They started this, and then Gandhiji joined them later, if you know the independence movement history. So there was a difference of opinion between Balagangadhar Tilak and Mahatma Gandhi. And meanwhile, Balagangadhar Tilak left his body. He died. Then Mahatma Gandhi took over the leadership. But originally, it started with Balagangadhar Tilak and Gopal Krishna Gokhale and all that. Tilak was a little, revolutionary. Gopal Krishna Gokhale was a little bit more moderate, you could call it in the modern terms. So they started the movement, and the others started joining. And in all this background, Bhagavad Gita was also operating. Bhagavad Gita was studied very seriously by many people. Balagangadhar Tilak brought Karma Yoga from Bhagavad Gita and started. As far as he is concerned, Bhagavad Gita is nothing but Karma Yoga. He sees in that way. Like Srila Prabhupada is seeing, Bhagavad Gita is purely Bhakti Yoga. In the same way, Balagangadhar Tilak thought that Bhagavad Gita is purely Karma Yoga. So in that way you can see that the impact was, the society has many people joined, and Vishwanath was one among them. And he grew up in such a way that he had great difficulties in his early youth, in early life also. He became an orphan at early age. Father died, mother died, and somebody else brought him up. And he grew up in that situation. So therefore, he had deep realizations also in early life. When a child is thrown into a lot of problems in early life itself, sometimes due to karma, he also becomes a little deeper in his thoughtful nature. So Vishwanath Swami was always looking for some spiritual enlightenment. Often he will have discussions with various personalities, and many of those people who associated with him at that time in spiritual life were also like that. And he will come to different ashrams where various personal people are practicing spiritual life, but he won't stay anywhere. He'll come there, spend some time, and then he will leave from there. So nobody knows where he left, where he has gone, but everybody knew after associating with him that he was a person with a lot of deeper realizations and knowledge. So that's how he left him. So one day what happened was, in one ashram where he went, he spent quite a few years there, which was not normal with him. He spent a longer period there, and the inmates in that ashram got used to him, and they started recognizing his deeper understanding of life, and he lived very simple at the same time. So one day he left the ashram and went away from there, and then everybody was looking for him. Nobody could find him, where he has gone. So he has left the ashram, and then he was wandering around in the city somewhere, and in some suburb in the city he has gone and taken up a work there in somebody's house to cook. He's taken a cook's service in that place. So by chance, all those people in the ashram were looking for him, and one of them accidentally met him in the bus stop. See, he was standing at the bus stop and he saw him there. So he asked him, what are you doing here? He says, so he recognized him and asked him about that. So Vishwanath Swami didn't say anything. He said, I'm just living here, he said. So he wouldn't answer anything. He was not showing much interest to talk to anybody. So this person followed him to the house where he was going. So he walked inside the house. So the person who met him, he came out, stood outside, and there was somebody sitting outside the house, asked him that Vishwanath Swami is here, can I have a word with him? So they went inside to call Vishwanath Swami to come out, that somebody is waiting for you, he said. So he came out. So he asked him, what are you doing? He says, I'm cooking here. So this person was thinking, what a misfortune for him, that such a deep realized personality with so much knowledge and so much understanding, he has to come and do this. And he was doing it to maintain his body. He was doing this just to maintain his body. He was working there in that family as a cook. He was doing this work there. So this other person who has come to visit him, he started crying. He says, what are you doing this like this here? Is this the right place for you to be? If you had been in the ashram, how nice it would be for everybody else. Great scholar and great realizations this person had. And not only that, Naishtika Brahmachari as well. No family, nothing. So you may look at it this way. Such a person has gone, decided to go and do this work. Why? Sharira yatra bijate. That's the only answer to that. Then he could have immediately taken to saffron. Brahmachari, no commitments, nothing in this world. And he could have stayed as a sannyasi somewhere. Somebody would have fed him, isn't it? He could have easily lived like that. But what did he do? He didn't take to saffron. He didn't change his name to some Saraswati or anything, Bharati or anything like that. Without knowing knowledge of anyone, see that realization, how it helps at that time, instances. For maintaining the body, I need some food and a place to lie down. That's all what he wanted from this world. That's all he's expecting from this world. So what he did was, he said, without anyone's knowledge, he went and did this work for himself to maintain the body. For sharira yatra bijade. For maintaining the body, you have to do something in this world for maintenance, isn't it? And if you get that, what you need for maintaining the body, that should be satisfied. After that, it shouldn't matter so much. That's why Krishna says, sharira yatra bijade na prasiddhyeda karmana. says that, isn't it? Na prasiddhyet akarmana. Akarmanam is not acceptable. And Krishna says here, this person, ultimately, they requested Vishwaswami to come. He came over to the ashram later, and then he, being in the ashram, he wrote a lot of books from the ashram at that time. In other words, they have given only that much importance to karma. Only that much importance to karma. They didn't think that this karma is everything in life. On the other hand, their attitude towards karma was like this. That some karma has to be performed. Shaiya yatra bichade na prasiddhyat akarmana. Akarmanatvam is not right. They recognize that. But do that karma what's necessary to maintain the body. Sharira yatra means, in our karmam, we have kept what is this thing called abhimanam, isn't it? False ego there. Vanity, it is called, isn't it? Vanity in the karma. And we also feel that this karma is not good enough. And also, whatever the benefits you get from the karma, still there is no recognition we feel. Sometimes, have you seen that in the office, people say like that? That they pay me well, but they don't recognize my contribution. Every office you will hear this. Somebody is making a statement like this, isn't it? And so they feel that somebody, they have not been recognized what they have done. Where is this coming from? From the false ego. So Krishna's point is, people will complain about this. According to my qualification experience, they are not paying me. According to my skills, they are not paying me. These are all complaints in the office you always hear. Though this happiness, what they are taking is, what they misunderstood is this, the actual happiness is not from the salary what you get or the recognition what you get. The real happiness is, if you have executed the karma with the understanding that I am not the doer and I am not the enjoyer. When the vasanas are getting drained out from inside, Krishna says that is the happiness from karma. Happiness from karma is not the how much money we have earned or how much recognition we got in this world. On the other hand, Krishna is saying, you see how subtle the whole thing is. That the real happiness from karma, Krishna is saying, is while executing the karma, if you have done that karma with this full knowledge that material nature is doing this karma through this body, I have nothing to do with it, I am soul. The karma is for the body. And in the Sharira Yatra, it will happen, all this karma is happening. Whether the results are according to these expectations or calculations or not, and immaterial of what happens, Krishna says, if the vasanas are going away through that karmam process, he says the happiness will start trickling down from the soul. From the soul. So, basic necessities everybody has. What is that? Eating, sleeping, things like that. So, how to do that karmam? Krishna is explaining that niyadam kuru karmatvam. Niyadam kuru karmatvam. What niyati? Niyati means destiny. What destiny has brought, whatever karmam has brought in front of us, keep on doing that, Krishna says here. Whether you got the results or not, Krishna says, let it come its own. If you get it, good. If you don't get it, also doesn't matter. And you shouldn't say that I need it so much also. Let the action takes place in the physical plane. It will neither disturb you nor it will happen, it will help you from the spiritual point of view. It will help you if it happens like that. Otherwise we will think that it is a disturbance. Otherwise we will think that it's a disturbance and we will try to achieve it through our karma. That is not possible. Karmam cannot be completed that way. It is not complete any time. Just like our situation, Krishna gives the example earlier also, in the end of second chapter also he said, the attitude should be, just like the whole ocean or the big oceans, when the rivers come and join them, it doesn't flood the ocean, isn't it? Ocean never gets flooded, it doesn't dried up either. If the rivers don't bring the water to the ocean, whether it brings the water or it doesn't bring the water to the ocean, ocean neither gets filled up or flooded, nor it gets dried up if the rivers don't bring the water. Ocean stays as ocean, isn't it? That's what Krishna spoke before, Abhuryamanam Ajalapradishtam. If you remember that verse, Abhuryamanam Ajalapradishtam, in the second chapter. That is the state Krishna is trying to bring us into. By talking about karmam, is connecting with that. That is the verse 70. Krishna said, Apuryamanam ajalapradishtam samudram ava pravishandi yadvad tadvad kamayam pravishandi sarve sashandim atnoti nacha na kamakami. Remember that verse? In that, na kamakami. That a person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So it is keeping in mind this verse that Krishna is saying this. Sharira yatra abhijade na prasiddhyeta karmana. That karmam you have to execute, but it should be like the way the ocean is receiving the rivers. The river sometimes brings a loads of water into the sea. Sometimes in the summer season there is not much water in the river. Irrespective of what the river brings in, the sea is not affected, isn't it? So Krishna is saying that in a similar way, in karmam also, be like the sea, like the ocean. Always, no matter what happens, whether the result is there or not, continue doing the karmam in such a way that if you behave like the ocean, the vasanas will go from inside. Ocean doesn't react. Oh, it doesn't ask Ganga river, why did you not bring enough water this time? Or Yamuna river or any other big rivers. They are coming and they are bringing water into the ocean, but ocean is unaffected by all that thing. So that nature in karmam, Krishna says, is important. Not to react in that way. Abhuryamanam ajalapradishtam. So Abhuryamanam ajalapradishtam is the nature of the sthitapratnya stage. Isn't it? So in order to come to that sthitapratnya state, in karma yogam, this will help. That's what the point Krishna is making there. Abhuryamanam ajalapradishtam. So, niyada kuru karmatvam, niyadam, So, Abhuryamanam ajalapradishtam. Keep on doing the karmam, what one has to do. Niyada kuru karmatvam, and niyada kuru karma jayohi akarmana. Sharira yatra vichate na prasiddhyet akarmana. And even maintaining this material body is not possible. In other words, normal maintenance of this body is even not possible. That is one understanding from that verse. Another understanding is, this body has been taken for fulfilling the prarabdha karma, isn't it? One understanding is, for Krishna is saying, for even for maintenance of this body you have to work. That's one. Second understanding is that this material body is to finish up the prarabdham, isn't it? Prarabdha shariram, this is called. So in order to finish that prarabdham, if we don't execute the karmam, prarabdham won't get finished. Prarabdham won't get finished. So, how do you know prarabdham is finished or not? In the sixth chapter, Krishna will talk about this, how the prarabdham is finished. Because if the prarabdham is finished, the urge for doing karmam will go away. That is the way how you know about that. Prarabdham is finished or not. That, in other words, if you look in the sixth chapter, Krishna will mention there, the mind will not waver anymore. That state, why the mind is wavering all the time? Because prarabdham is not finished. The vasanas are there still inside. If you look into the sixth chapter, you will see there. Sixth chapter, yeah. Let me have a look 1 second. It is in the... Sugadukka Same Kritva, I think something like that. Seven?
Yeah.
If you look into the verses, 20 to 23 in the 6th chapter, you will see there, Yatro Uparamade Chittam, verses, 3 verses there. Krishna says there that the persons whose mind, vasanas have gone, he says there, Yatro Uparamade Chittam, Niruddham Yoga Sevaya, Yatra Jai Atman Atmanam, Pashyan Atmani Tushyati. Sukham, Atyandiyam Yattad, Buddhigrahyam, Atindriyam, Veti Yatrana Chaivayam, Stidas Chaladi Tatvada, Yam Labdhva Chabaram Labham Manyade Nadhyam Tata, Yasmin Stidona Dukhena Guru Nabi Vijayade, Tam Vidya Dukhasam Yogam Vyogam Yogasam Idam. If you look into all the translations of that there, if you see, stage of perfection is called trance or samadhi. When one's mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. This is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness and enjoys himself through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth, and upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. So, see that, Yam labdhva chabaram labham manyate nadhigam tada. Third verse, that means verse 23. Yasmin sthidona dukhena gurunapi vijayalyade, tam vidya dukkasam yogam vyogam yogasam idam. Krishna is saying there that when your prarabdha karma vasana has gone from inside, you become very stable inside. You become very stable inside. Why people get shaken? Because of the vasanas inside. You know, some people get very emotional and very disturbed over various things, isn't it? Krishna is saying the yoga state will come when all the vasanas have, prarabdha vasana and prarabdha karma has finished. And when that has happened, yam labdhva chabaram labham manyate nadhigam tata yasmin sthidona dukhena gurunapi vichalyate. He will realize that he has got what he needs. He has already got it. And the urge has gone, and mind will not run here and there. Mind will not run here and in this direction, that direction. Mind will become very steady. And if he stays quietly, that even if he is quiet, mind will not get disturbed over anything. And because natural way, the natural realization of the soul is developing inside, in other words, in that person. Why? The mind has become very settled and very peaceful about that. So, sahajam means a natural way. Surubaspurti means is one's own realization of the self. Why? Because all the vasanas have gone away from inside. All the Satans inside us left. When the vasanas have gone away, then he doesn't have to do the karma anymore. He doesn't have to do the karma anymore. Because by doing anything, he has nothing to gain, and he will not be able to do it either. Because after a particular stage, karma will leave on its own. When the vasanas have gone, karma will leave on its own from us. He is not giving them up. The problem is, because of false ego inside, we are saying, I'll do this, I will not do this. This kind of statements comes from us because of the false ego. But here what's happening is that if it's happening, let it happen. Whatever that has to happen, let it happen. Karma is not a block for me in my spiritual life. This realization will become very firm in him, in that person. For him, once karma, even when karma is finished, not that it is all gone completely, sometimes he may engage in karma, but still it's not anymore a hindrance in his self-realization, in other words. Karma is not a block. For spiritual life, and spiritual realization has no connection with karma. This also we have to note. There is no connection with spiritual life and karma, in the sense that karma will carry on in its own way. Karma will carry on its own way. That's what Krishna is saying. Niyadam kuru karmatvam karma jyayohi akarmana sharira yatra vichade na prasiddhyet akarmana. If karma was the whole factor which makes our spiritual life going, then Krishna would not have spoken this verse. But here he is saying here, how to to say like this, that let the karma happen in its own way. In the material body, how to do the karma? Is it enough the way I have done so far? Only small shift, the shift what we have to make is this, that by doing this particular karma with the misunderstanding that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, is it going to bring me more and more, create more karma for me in the future? Or in other words, attachment will bind me at that point. So in order that this should not happen, Krishna is saying here that the karma should not bind you anymore in the future. Karma should be performed as a yajnam. Now from now on in Bhagavad Gita, what happens is Krishna is talking about karma as a yajnam. Yajnam. If you perform any karma, instead of as a yajnam, as a karma, if you execute anything, any karma, if you execute in this world, it is bound. It is bondage. It will bind you to this world. If you have not changed all our karma in this world, if it is not executed as a yajnam, as a sacrifice, that karma will bind us. That's the point. From now on, Krishna is going to talk about that. Any karma which is executed as a yajnam, that is all free. That frees you from the karma. Yajnam, the word yajnam means here, what Krishna says here is that any activity that is executed without kartratvam, I am the doer, and any karma executed in that way is yajnam. Like we discussed the other day, that I am having a meal. I am not eating. Bhogair atmanam atmani. For the sake of the body maintenance, I have to eat something. Therefore, sometimes what jnanis do, when you serve them so many different dishes, they will mix up the whole thing and eat it. To show that that individual items is not important for them. The food is going in only for the sake of maintenance of this body. This is their way of showing that detachment from the food. Bhogai, Krishna also says that, Bhogai atmanam atmani. Anything that is going inside is for the pleasure of the Krishna's happiness inside. That food is going in for maintaining this material body that is given to me. So, if karma is also executed in that way, just like this eating example, is in that case, it is yajna. Similarly, if somebody gives food to someone else, that with this understanding that I am not giving the food, then it is yajna. Whereas if one starts thinking I am feeding all these people, and then it is not yajna anymore. It's not yajna. It only becomes a yajna that the food has come to me, I have to distribute this. In that way, if you do it, it is yajna. Otherwise, it's not yajna. If you are chanting the holy name, and if you think I am chanting, I am finishing, I am doing, then it's not yajna. But if you are chanting that holy name with the understanding that Krishna has allowed me to chant the holy name, it is happening through me, let this please Krishna, what is happening, let it become happiness to to my... I am not the doer, but it is happening through me. With that understanding, japam becomes a yajna. Japa yajna. So in anything what we do, if aham karta, aham bhokta, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, if it is not there, it becomes a yajna. That is the definition of yajna. Yeah? See, these are the important points in the third chapter. Karma Yoga is teaching us these things. That, for example, in sacrifices you will notice, yajna in English translation is sacrifice, isn't it? In sacrifices you will see the fire sacrifice. People perform fire sacrifice, isn't it? But that doesn't mean actually yajna. So even while performing fire sacrifice, if one is doing it with some goal, it's not a yajna. It's not a yajna. Yaj, that is the dhatu, from that word yajna comes. So from now on, Krishna is trying to glorify about yajna. From now onwards, that is what's happening. That if it is not a yajna, any karmam in this world will bind us. That is the most important point. If it is not a yajna. So, practically you can see, we are not meant to do any karmam. We are only meant to do yajna in life. So, to make the whole life a yajna is the goal. Yeah, to make the whole life as a yajna, not as a karmam. Unfortunately, most of us have identified with karmam so strongly, and Krishna says if it is like that, there is no escape from karmam. There is no escape from karmam. So, you will see here, Krishna talks about this, that yajanam, the word, keeps on glorifying. From now on, Krishna continuously glorifies yajanam. So, you can see from this, that Krishna likes somebody who does things in this world without expectation of results. One. Krishna likes someone who does things in this world with full knowledge that things are happening through him and without any identification that he is the doer. When these two things are taken into account 100%, that pleases Krishna, not anything else. And this Karma Yoga chapter is the perfect example for that. See, in spiritual life we are thinking, this thinking that I have to do a lot before I get there, one day Krishna is going to appear in front of me at the end of my life and take me back home, back to Godhead and all. This is all a different level of understanding. It's not completely based on knowledge. Knowledge is this. Krishna is saying to us, right now, where you are, in whatever situation you are, how you are acting, that's more important. Rather than saying that, I joined this movement and I joined that movement and then whole life I have chanted and at the time of death all devotees came and chanted next to me. But whole my life I was operating on a selfish level, my own selfish interest. If I have lived like that, that life is useless. That life is useless. It may not happen the way we want it to happen. Because none of the vasanas have gone away from inside. All he has refrained from all kinds of activities and lot of ragadvesham has gone in throughout spiritual life also. You created fighting, arguing with everybody and ragadvesham has happened inside. So with all that ragadvesham inside, no vasanas have been taken out from inside. How do you expect that person will go back to spiritual world? It's possible to accept that. So that's why if you, in the light of Bhagavad Gita, if you look at things, you can see that it's a whole science. And what Krishna gives importance is that make your life as a yajnam, as a sacrifice. And that sacrifice means, I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer for the results. In other words, Krishna expects that do things in such a way that let it please Krishna. In that way, execution should be done. So that is from verse 9, begins with this, and the rest of the whole chapter is centered around this one point of yajnam, making the whole life as a yajnam. And that is where most of us are failing, isn't it? Krishna says there, we look at that verse, yajnarthal karmano nyatra logoyam karma bandhanaha tadartham karma kaundeya mukta sanga samachara yajnarthal karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhana tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sanga samachara. Translation: work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain unattached and free from bondage. And free from bondage. Yajnarthal karmano anyatra logoyam karma bandhana tadartham karma kaundeya mukta sanga samacharan. So, that is a very important verse, because from now on, Krishna has only, that is verse number 9 now, from 9 to the rest of this whole chapter, Krishna is only telling us repeatedly, make the life as yajnam. Make the life as a yajnam. Because what is very inherent in our nature? Selfishness. Isn't it? Selfishness is our fundamental nature. Look after oneself, isn't it? Number one thing. Now all of us, we have that. Krishna says, so long as that is there, you will never come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. And Karma Yoga is not different than Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma is exactly the same. Karma Yoga is Bhagavata Dharma. It is spoken in another context, in another group of people. That's all it is. The message is the same. That how to make the life a sacrifice. Sacrifice in the sense that it should please Krishna. At the same time, it should be done in knowledge. That means this not allowing that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer of the results. These two things taken out from the karma. And it is placing Krishna. Yajnarthal karmano anyatra logoyam karma bandhana tadartham karma kaundeya mukta sanga samacharel. Let's look at that verse. See this, for making life as a yajnam, the sage, we are performing action. All action we have to perform in this world should be for making the life as a yajnam. So the sages, knowing this very well, they gave us a life pattern in that way. In that way, they gave us a lifestyle. They gave us a lifestyle. Particularly householder life. Particularly a householder life should be done in such a way that the whole life becomes a yajnam. Everything should be for the benefit of the world. If we do anything not for your own benefit, it has become yajnam. It has become a yajnam. If it done for one's own sake, then it becomes swarthada, selfishness. Isn't it? Even little things. one Mahatma used to say about this. He says that in every moment in this world, there is yajnam and there is selfishness. Sometimes a person comes to your house, and if you say to him, come, please come, sit down. If you say like that, that word, sometimes it can come from selfishness, sometimes it can come from a mood, according to the mood in which you say this. Sometimes if you say, oh, they should talk about me in a nice way, and if you speak that false ego, if you speak, invite somebody to come in and say like that, that has come from false ego. then it is not, then it becomes bhogam. On the other hand, we have already taken the benefit from that. On the other hand, in a natural way, with a pleasure, if you invite someone and if you say, please come inside and sit down, that has become yajnam. So in every little things in life also, whatever we do, it can be either a yajnam or it can be a bhogam, sense gratification. Sense gratification is coming from false ego. Or in other words, it can be a yajnam. So it means, even while welcoming a person, if the mood, depending on the mood, it can be a yajnam or it can be a bhogam. What to speak, if it's such a small thing like that, if you have to think in those lines, what about all the big things, what we do in life? So, Krishna says here, with love and happiness, if one invites in that, it becomes yajnam. Even in small karmam, there is also yajnam and there is selfishness. Wherever there is priyam, priyam means pleasure inside, and wherever there is mercy or the desire to serve, there is yajnam. Yajnam is a natural thing. Wherever there is selfishness, or wherever there is selfishness and also this bhavana or the imagination of enjoying future through that karmam, then there is no yajnam there. There is no yajnam there. So you can see, when we work in this world hoping that I'm going to enjoy life future with all the money what I have earned and with all the assets I have created, there is no yajnam there. That is selfishness. That is not yajnam. Yajnam is this, all I have done in this world. That means to totally stay away from this world and to serve this world without expectation of anything from this world. This is yajnam. Otherwise, it's not yajnam. That means you are giving freely to the world rather than you are taking from this world without any discrimination. Some people are like that, isn't it? They want to take everything from the world, but they don't think to offer to this world. It becomes a habit like that. Krishna says it will binding you more and more. That's the only way, Krishna says, you can free yourself from this bondage. Free yourself from this bondage. Because so much you have taken in the past and you continue to take from here without this yajnam, sacrifice nature. Therefore, you have to suffer. That is the point Krishna is making there. That just like he says here, the heart of yajnam itself is this thing called priyam. Priyam means that pleasure of doing things for others. Yeah, to do in a pleasant mood to serve others in a priyam. That is called priyam. That just like a mother, mother does something for the child. Why? Because there is priyam inside. Sometimes a child smacks the mother, beats the mother up, but still the mother does it for the child. Isn't it? Sometimes a child shouts at the mother, but mother has only one thing in her heart, that's the welfare of the child. Isn't it? So same thing, if this same mood has come to us in our field of activity, Krishna says, in a natural way, all our activities will become yajnam. If this mood is, the priyam has developed inside. Such a yajnam or such a activity will not bind us. Whereas, on the other hand, if you constantly curse everyone in this world and constantly grumble for that you have not been rewarded properly or not been recognized properly, and if you, year after year, you work in that consciousness, whole lifetime, it is completely develops into selfishness and swarthada. So, the mother knows very well the child will grow up one day. At the old age, he may or may not look after the mother. And mother doesn't say, I gave you milk, I gave you food when you were a child. Mother doesn't expect anything, doesn't it? Normally, that is how it is. Mothers have no expectations. Always she is thinking the welfare of the child. Even at the old age, mother, the son has grown up, still she only wants that the child should not get into difficulties. And never make any claim for all the service what she has done to the child. And no mother will say, even though I have looked after you so much, you have not looked after me at the old age. Mothers normally don't say like that. Because why? The priyam was there inside. No expectations, in other words. Expectations should not happen inside. If expectations develop inside, then there is a problem. And with expectations, If you execute karmam, it won't work properly. But there should be priyam. Priyam means naturally expectations won't be there. If there is priyam in a person, there is no expectations at all. And that karmam in a natural way becomes yajnam. So, Krishna says here, there are so many things which are executed. Anyatra karmana karma bandhanaha. Krishna says in that verse, if you look here, yajnyarthal karmanonyatra anyatra logoyam karma bandhanaha. Isn't it? Krishna says there. Any karmam that is executed not as a yajnam, karma bandhanaha, you will be bound by that. That's why the words is saying like that. Anyatra logoyam karma bandhanaha. Yajnyarthad karmana anyatra. Anyatra means that is not what is not executed as a karmam in the logoyam karma bandhanaha. It will bind you, in other words. And mukta sangha samachara. So he says here, tadartham karma kaundeya mukta sangha samachara. We all become bound by that. So therefore, for the sake of yajnam, without any attachment to it, mukta sangha samachara. Mukta sangam means that complete in the liberated state, that means you should not have the thought that I am the doer and I am not particular about the results will come. Simply as an instrument in Krishna's hands, when one functions in this world, it becomes yajnam. Simply as an instrument in Krishna's hands, if we function in this world, it becomes a yajnam. And that yajnam will continuously free us from the effect of vasanas. From the effect of vasanas. Every time you execute a karmam, you will feel more and more relaxed after that. You will feel more and more relaxed. More and more, that energy will be released from inside. The vasanas are, when the vasana is a weight inside, all these vasanas what we have inside, it's a heavy weight. When that weight goes away from inside, you feel more relaxed inside. You feel more relaxed inside. Complete peace inside, and at the same time, that peace will develop into realizations. Anandam, stillness, coolness, all these kinds will develop inside. Anubhuti. So this experience will happen when that selfishness goes away from inside and it increases. And that is why Krishna says here, make the whole life in such a way as a yajnam and wipe out all that vasanas through karma. Make the all karma what we do as a yajnam, and through using as making it as a yajnam, wipe out all the vasanas from inside. If it is done like that, yajanam and getting rid of it with that, through yajanam. Yajanam means sacrifice. Making the karmam as a sacrifice or yajnam and wipe out all the vasanas and prarabdham from inside. So, in order that the karmam to leave us, karmam will not leave us by doing it. But on the other hand, by not doing it also karma vasana won't go from inside. Only way you can release karmam is by making it as a yajnam. That's the principle in the Bhagavad Gita. Yajnam means, by making it a yajnam means meditation, yoga process, samadhi, all these are the after results of that, after effects of this yajnam. Samadhi, dhyanam, yogam, all these are the after results of that. Samadhi, you don't have to practice it. Samadhi is not a state, what you practice. When the karmam is removed through yajanam or through the sacrifice process, the state what you are in is called samadhi. Sometimes people think, I'll continue my job, work, everything, but I'll do a couple of hours meditation, dhyanam inside. Eventually I'll turn into samadhi. Krishna is saying, no, it's not like that. Unless these vasanas are taken out from inside, you cannot experience that samadhi state. So if the yajnam or karmam is made as a yajnam, and through that yajnam all karma vasanas goes away from inside, in a natural way you reach that samadhi state. That is the principle. Natural way you will reach that samadhi state. Samadhi will be experienced. Krishna says, and that is the thing what Krishna is talking about. See, the ultimate goal of human life is self-realization, isn't it? Human life goal is self-realization. That means to find out what we are, which that is the goal. So these states like sacrifice and all these things that we are talking about is different steps in that direction, towards that direction. So when self-realization happens, all distress also leaves, isn't it? All the distress also leaves away. Therefore, Krishna is saying here, that is why he is saying here, as a sharira yatra bijade, he says, even in the sharira yatra, therefore Krishna is saying that karma should not be given up. The purpose of the sharira yatra, or this journey through this body is also, is the same goal, to reach the state of self-realization. In this chapter, the last chapter, in the second chapter, if you remember, Krishna spoke about this. You remember? That he says that at least before death, we should reach that goal. Before we approach the death, this should happen. That is why Krishna gave another name there, Brahmistiri. You remember? Siddha Prajnatvam, Brahmistiri, these are all the same thing, but spoken in different terminologies. At least before giving up the body, Krishna says here, this Brahmistiri should be experienced. When we say like that, that it should come, in other words, the question will come, is it not there now? Or is it something that has to happen later, if it is not like that? Because all other things in this world, we don't have it now, but we want to achieve it, isn't it, later. That is the nature of this world. Say, for example, you want to have a car, you have to work for it, earn the money, and then buy the car. And you get it at that time. You get it at that time. If you want to buy a house, you have to work, earn the money, buy the property, and then you can have it. That is everything in this world. Children also, they go to school, 4 or 5 years they study, and they'll eventually reach the 10th standard or whatever, and then they'll go to the degree classes, and then they will get their job. All these things has to happen afterwards, isn't it? They go to school first, and they go to college, then uni, and study, and then they get the job, and they earn money, and then get the other things like that. So it's a thing what you have to do now, and you will get the results will come later. Spiritual life is not like that. Spiritual life is not like that. The only thing in spiritual life is, what we are today, we have to be in that state. That's all it is. That means, spiritually we have an identity which is already there. That is what Krishna is saying there. It's already, that identity is always existing. And it never leaves us. It's not something that has to come on a much later day towards us. Not to be earned, in other words. It's not to be earned. That is our real identity or self-realization. Self-realization is nothing but to be situated as we are in our original state. And if you start thinking that something which I don't have it now, but is going to happen to me at a later date, Siddhatvad iha sarvada, Krishna says, Siddhatvad iha sarvada, it's already there. That's the important point. Upalabdhi, upalabdham, nityobalabdhi, surupeha, almaha. That, this you will see in the nature of the living entity. A question was raised. This is very much similar in the Hastamalaka Gita as well as the discussion between Sanatana Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The same topic comes in the same way. What it says there is Nityobalabdhi Surubaham Atmaha, that I am the soul, and what is the symptom of the soul? Nityobalabdham. Nityobalabdham means I've already got it. I already have it. And comparison they give is like this. Someone who has kept his glasses on the nose and he's searching for his glasses. That is the kind of situation we are in today. We already know that it is inside. What? The thing we are searching after. It's already there. But not knowing that, we are searching for it elsewhere. So we have become this incomplete, imperfection inside us. And through that imperfection, we are searching for that perfection. We are searching for that perfection, or what is that perfection? Our true identity as the soul. While being situated in the truth, we are searching after the truth. we are searching after the truth. Then by nature, the truth is that we are spirit soul. And being situated in that, we are still searching for the truth. So Krishna says here, in order that this ignorance must go from inside, and in order to experience that Krishna, in order to experience Krishna, our proper identity as that is salsangam. Salsangatve nisangatvam. Nisangatve nirmohatvam. Nirmohatve nischaladatvam. Nischaladatve jivanmukti. So from salsangam comes nisangam. Nisangam means your inside, this clearer clarity develops inside, or freedom from attachment to this world develops inside, nisangatvam. When nisangata happens, nirmohatvam, all delusions also will go away from inside. Nowadays we are living in this world engaged in so much karma and so much delusion also inside, that this will bring me happiness, that will bring me happiness, or if I don't do this properly I'm going to suffer, all kinds of delusions inside. So Krishna is saying that nisangatve nirmohatvam. Nirmohatvam comes, and nirmohatvam comes means nischala tattvam. What is that nischala tattvam? Nischala tattvam means when the vasanas goes away from inside, there's a kind of stillness inside a person, a peaceful state inside, and that leads into liberation. That leads into liberation. Nischala tattve jivan mukti. Mukti comes at that stage. So, these discussions about what Nityovalabdhi Surubaham Atma. Hastamalika Gita is a 8 or 10 words, says, maybe a little bit more than that, a discussion between Acharya Swamiji and one of his disciples called Hastamalika. There's a whole story behind it. And interesting enough, it is the same discussion happens between Sanatana Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He also says the same thing, very much similar, the words even, very close by in their discussions. So, between Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami, when discussions happened, it is the same topic they are discussing about their identity. Who am I? That's the question, isn't it? Sanatana Goswami asked this question to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who am I? And in answer to that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying the same thing. I am not Brahmana, I am not Kshatriya, I am not Vaishya, I am not Shudra, I am not Brahmachari, I am not Grihastha, I am not Vanaprastha, I am not Sannyasa, he says. And then he says, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Acharya Swamiji says exactly all these things. Then he says, Nityo Labdhi Surubaham Atma. So a jnani will address himself as the soul. A devotee will say, it's all Krishna. That's only the difference. It's between a jnani and a bhakta. There is no other difference. When they are eliminating, they will say exactly the same thing. I'm not Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasa. Both of them are saying the same thing. And then the devotee is saying, I am eternally a servant of Krishna. And the jnani is saying, the soul is nothing but Krishna. This is the only little difference between the jnani. The way they present it is only where it differs. Otherwise, in realizations, they all are speaking from the same truth. And as I said in the beginning, that why this difference has happened, because of only one reason. Upadhi were different. According to the Upadhi, if you have a devotee features, you will express it in one way. If you have any features, you will express it in a different way. So, spiritual life, there is no conflict. It's all straightforward. We'll discuss this tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.